141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers appear to be closing in on Michael Beale with an official approach to QPR expected. Celtic are rumoured to be eyeing up Canada right back Alistair Johnston. And it's been a mixed day at the World Cup with some dull moments before a 5-goal thriller, and Brazil still to come. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is your Thursday duo, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
No doubt where the main story is, Gordon, still the Rangers manager job up for grabs. And then, like you say, they're cold. And in Michael Beale, the approach is going to be made, but that doesn't mean that he will come. He's already not back to Premier League club in Wolves. Will Rangers prove too much of a pull for him? Will he be back at Ibrox this time next week?
I think he's firm favourite, obviously. Mixed reaction we've had in the phones lately, Gordon, with the appointment to be, and I think the way you're hearing the reports coming out today that that is the way it's going to be, and Michael Beale probably will be in place by next week. So it'll be interesting to hear the callers tonight with their thoughts on it.
Well, don't let the man down. 01419511025. In terms of developments as expected, Rangers are going to make an official approach to QPR. There's absolutely nothing yet to suggest that Michael Beale wouldn't jump at the chance to come back. Of course, you never know how these things eventually play out, but that's where we're at today. So Rangers fans, how are you feeling about it? A bit more time maybe to think about it, assess the other options, of which there don't seem to be many publicly, certainly. And it just takes me back a year when, as soon as Steven Gerrard left, it all was about Giovanni van Bronckhorst. Barely anyone else mentioned, and he got the job. Are we sort of seeing that again? I know there's been passing mentions for Sean Dyche and whoever else, but are we kind of on that one track again? And is Michael Beale going to end up the manager? Do let us know your thoughts on that one, Rangers fans. 0141 951 1025. The rumour mill, we're just heading in towards the winter period, the transfer window. Celtic fans, what are you making of these suggestions? Alistair Johnston, the Canada right back, could be an option. I'm sure you would have been impressed with Canada last night, because everyone was. What do you make about him in particular? Is that another sign that the Josip Juranovic thing might end up in him leaving the club? And of course, on the World Cup, if you want, that's why we stayed on during the break. Of course, we've got our own big stories to cover, but if you want to talk World Cup, we are here for you. I must admit, Mark Wilson, I was starting to lose faith in the tournament a bit this morning, this afternoon. There's been a few too many nil-nils or drab games for my liking.
Yep.
But we've just had a 5-goal thriller, Portugal beating Ghana 3-2. Of course, Ronaldo scored, had to be in the headlines one way or the other. And let's be honest, the World Cup only really starts when Brazil get involved.
Yep.
And we're about 55 minutes away from that tonight.
Yep, and they are my team. And
no, I'm not interested in that.
They
I don't
are
care
my
about you.
Yeah, they do get the competition started and all the flair players are there. But there's no doubt about it. That Portugal game, Gordon, was brilliant. We were sitting there watching it in the office, and right up until the last kick of the ball where the Portugal goalie rolled out the ball, you know, with seconds remaining, and almost got it nicked off him, it would have been a classic game. But yeah, a couple of the games have been a bit drab. The atmosphere hasn't quite been what a usual World Cup is. But I think once we get Brazil out the way tonight and we get into the second round of games, this thing will liven up.
If Brazil draw 0-0, I think I will chuck it. But I mean, you're famous for just sitting on the recliner all day and watching TV. Have you been taking it all in? You've been soaking up? I know you're a student of the game.
I've tried my best, Gordon. I hung in as far as I could, and I've no feeling the love.
So do you sort of go between Loose Women and
no,
the World Cup?
I've got a nice series that I'm watching just now, and I sort of go between that. I tuned in this morning and I thought, no, I can't watch it. I've taken a real shine to Canada, loved them, but I've got a connection with Canada, obviously. And
when you say obviously,
I nearly get engaged in Canada.
How's that obvious to anyone?
Well, I could have been a Canadian if I'd have went through.
And also, hold on a minute, hold on. For a man who's been actually engaged so many times, how does nearly getting engaged qualify as being like a big life moment?
Well, it was my first trip away with Rangers pre-season tour.
This is not the direction I expected the show to take.
And we went to Toronto and I met this lovely guy and for 2 weeks with Corky.
2 weeks. Hold on. So let me get this straight.
But we kept in touch.
So hold on. Your World Cup hopes are pinned on a holiday romance from 1981.
Well, it was a little bit early in 81,
or that's even worse then.
But yes, I've always had you know, good connections there, and I used to go out and coach. And I actually went out 1 year and looked about for her, but I never found her.
No, I wonder right, what she's doing there.
Seriously, right?
That's the, I think there's mileage in that.
This is not what I meant. This is not what I meant when I asked about the World Cup, right?
Any other countries? But I've not been to
Japan. All right, there's no story. But I like the way Japan went about their business as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you think I'm going to ask you about Brazilians, you're onto another thing. 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB, if you don't mind. I mean, I don't mind it when you two talk nonsense, but we usually wait until at least 10 past 6. Do you know what I mean?
That's early doors, that.
We've gone very, very early tonight. So let's get cracking with today's football news. The development, if you like, the Michael Beale story just has sort of been there and it stays there. It does seem to be picking up pace. The Rangers are reportedly ready to make a formal approach, which of course has to happen at some stage. I mean, he's been odds on for a couple of days, never mind favourite. And I just wonder how you feel about that now, Rangers fans. It certainly looks like if it's not going to be him, something's going to have to change dramatically, either from the club's perspective or from Michael Beale's perspective, or the talks don't go right or whatever. It doesn't seem that there's any real strength in any of the other suggestions. So pick up the phone and let us know. 01419511025. And we'll start with Derek in Govan. What do you think, Derek? Are you all in on Michael Beale at this point?
Yeah, 100%. You've got to be. Aye, definitely. Definitely in with Michael Beale. I think he knows the players. Hopefully he clears someone out right enough. I did a bit of buying in January. That needs to be done. That's a priority. And I'm sure he'll have his own ideas on that.
I wonder actually, and well, the Rangers fans can answer me on this. I wonder if that's why some are a bit torn. Because the obvious strength of a Michael Beale appointment would be he's worked with these players before, and he's, for some of them, he's got more out of them than Giovanni Van Bronckhorst did. But I wonder if part of that is actually problematic rather than positive for Rangers fans who want the squad ripped up. So if that's the case, then, you know, Michael Beale's existing relationship with the players might not tickle your fancy, but for Derek it does. He thinks that's ultimately a good thing.
I'm not quite sure that Michael Beale coming in can wave a magic wand and all of a sudden the players who have been underperforming dramatically all of a sudden change. I get when he worked with them and Rangers won the league that he got a tune out of them, and he did most of the stuff, and Steven Gerrard was there to rule with the iron fist and be that influence in the other side of the game. Different being a manager where he has to come in now and he's the main man. Will he still want to do the majority of the coaching? Does he then build a coaching team that he rules with the authority that Gerrard did? And then can you get the same tune out the players halfway through a season where they've been underperforming and they've taken some heavy beatings? It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, there's no doubt. And then Derek saying, I hope he comes in and buys in January. I'm pretty sure all Rangers fans will be hoping for activity in the transfer window. But who's buying? Is it going to be the new manager? Is it going to be Ross Wilson that says, here's your players, make them better, make them into a team?
Having said all that, Gordon, if you are looking at James Tavernier or Alfredo Morelos or Ryan Kent, I'm not suggesting the magic wand like Mark is, but these are all players that played their best ever football at Rangers whilst they were being coached by Michael Beale. So is that the obvious hope that some of that can be replicated?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's where the Rangers fans are laying their faith with Beale, because of his past record at Rangers, because he did take a lot of credit. Stephen Gerrard was the front man, he was the main man. Let's not get carried away from that. I'm split with the decision, because there's no doubt the lad's a terrific coach. There's no doubt, we hear good things about him. Now he's went into management and the last 15 points he's picked up one. He's changed his tune from knocking back wolves because he believes in this loyalty with QPR and moving forward and, you know, the bigger picture. And 1.15, he's ready to jump ship to Rangers. I'll be interesting, Gordon. Coaching is very much a different act from management. There's guys that can get and do man managing, no coaching. There's guys that are the coaches. We've seen great coaches that try and step up to the number one and struggle. But that doesn't say that will not happen for Michael Beale. But I think for the Rangers players inside that dressing room, the familiar face, the way that he knows how it works, you know, with the training, the tactics, the pace and everything, I think that'll benefit Rangers, obviously. I just think, like everything else, this is a big gamble for me.
Derek, is it? I mean, every managerial appointment's a gamble, but do you feel pretty safe about this one?
I would feel safer than others. I mentioned I since he obviously knows the club. He was settled in Scotland with his family and stuff, so I think he'll be on it right away, and we need him to be on it right away.
Yeah, well, yeah, ultimately, Mark.
Needs to be instant. It does. And he's got a big job to do it now.
What does that look like, though? Maybe we can save these questions to an extent for when he's actually appointed or when someone is. But to dip the toe, does any new Rangers manager, if they can't win the league from here, that's not going to be. Is that going to be a major black mark considering they're already so far behind? Is it just about progression? Is it trying to get close? And obviously you want to win it, you aim to win it. But what I mean is, if you don't get there.
Yeah, I think it'll be very hard for any manager coming in to challenge Celtic this year for the title that is. Now, what you can do is you can cut the points deficit, you can win a couple of the games against Celtic, you can go as far as you can go in the cup, and then take it from there and then start rebuilding. You can add one or two of your signings in January that really make a difference to the squad, that allows the fans then to have faith in you going into the next window in the summer, that you're the man that can rebuild this club. The one thing he has got in his favour, if he is appointed, you touched on working with players before, he knows certain members of staff as well that will still be at the club, that makes it a whole lot easier than a new manager coming in, because let's be honest, it's not a lot of time to get your team ready for the 15th of December.
I think his job for me is coming in, get a tune out the players, because that is what the Rangers fans are thinking that he's going to do, because of all the reasons that Derek's talking about. Knows the club, knows the players, training, pace, style, everything. So he's got to get a tune out the players. Secondly, January will be an important time for him, transfer. So he's got to bring in the right personnel. So it'll be interesting to see how he does.
Let's take a little step back, because if you just tuned in, you'd be thinking Michael Beale had the job. So we're not quite there yet. Derek, do you see any of this changing? Do you now fully 100% expect him to be the manager? Does it seem like this plays out any other way?
I think he's unveiled tomorrow, aye, definitely.
Yeah, I'm interested, Mark. Like I said at the top of the show, I'm not attaching any judgment to this either way, whether it's a good or a bad thing, but remember when Steven Gerrard left, straight away the name was Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Hardly anyone else got mentioned in serious terms, and he became the manager. Now clubs will always say that they've done their easy for me to say, and that they've assessed all the best options, and they've carried out a process, and I'm not saying that they don't, but again, right now it seems like from day one, and unless something drastically changes, I can't see much more coming into the equation.
Yeah, pretty nailed on. And we praise Rangers when Van Bronckhorst came in, because that was a hard position to fill, and they did it pretty quickly with a guy that wasn't in this country, and it moved along swiftly. With Beale, I just got the impression that wheels were in motion with us when he appeared at Ibrox, and I know people will argue with that. No, he was up seeing family, and he was up doing this, and he was up doing. I think it was a PR stunt on his expense from his part to go up there and show his face, get a real appetite for what people were saying. And the Rangers fans, to be fair, absolutely lapped it up. Everything I read on social media was, there's a man that knows this club, and that put the manager under a wee bit more pressure. He got a result. But now, a few weeks later, there's nobody else in the running.
Or the players were playing because they knew Michael Beale was in the stands.
They seen him in the stand.
They were trying just to fitted impress him
a bit too well for me.
Okay, let's thank Derek and quickly bring in John, who's a Rangers fan from Pollock. Are you as excited about the appointment as the previous caller, John?
Hello, lads. No, I'm not, actually. I don't agree with Beale coming back, because he was there with Gerrard for the space of 3 years. And if you're going to get your players to be consistently enough with Gerrard and Beale, and then all of a sudden that you've dropped a level, I mean, you've got to think about it. Gerrard was there for 3 years and won the league. But when you look at Callum Davidson, he's actually won more trophies. I just don't... Even the people who's been touted for the Rangers job, there's nobody that really... actually, you can see, oh, he's a cracking manager. You know, Dice is a bit... I don't know, but...
So you do you not... You don't look back on the Gerard Beale era as a Rangers fan and think it was good, John?
Yes, it was good. Right, it was good at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that Beale will come in and lift all the players up? Now, why did he? Why did they not win more trophies? This is with the same players. I mean, they've only won the league.
Yeah, I don't look gone. I think without going over old ground, a great deal. But you kind of have to hear because you're looking at the job Michael Beale, Stephen Gerrard did. I think obviously people felt they should have done better in cup competitions.
But I don't think you can lay that at Michael Beale's door, because I said earlier, Stephen Gerrard was a father figure. He was the main man. So as a coach, you can go, you can prepare, you can go with the tactics, you can go with everything. But Stephen Gerrard picks the players, he picks the substitution, he picks everything else. So his hands are still tied as a coach. As much as he had a big, big say.
Everyone seems to believe he's the tactical brains behind it all, though.
Yeah, but I think that's different now when you're a manager, that you now decide. You don't need to stand next to Stephen Gerrard and hope that Stephen Gerrard asks you your opinion and what do you think. You can make those decisions now. And this is when he'll need to come out on his own. And this is why I'm a bit split, because I look at his manager record just now and he got off to a good start, and you can't deny the boy that. He's got 1 point in 15 in the championship with QPR. He's come under a little bit of pressure. Look, he could come in here and be absolutely brilliant for Rangers. I don't know. I just think they're going with the box he's been ticked of. He's been here before, and I'm fed up hearing this. He knows the club. He knows the players. The players like his training. Great. Let's get him in as a manager. For me, I think there's more to it.
Okay. Thank you, John. 01419511025. I'm going to try and get the take from the QPR side of things. Are they resigned to losing him? Is it inevitable? How do they feel about it? Is there any chance that this doesn't pan out with Michael Beale appearing at Ibrox in the next few days? We'll do that and more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 01419511025 if you'd like to get in touch, and we would like to have you. Certainly you can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. But come on, it's all a bit quiet on the domestic football front due to this World Cup break that sadly we are not involved in. So why not get in touch and let us know what's on your mind? Clearly, the Michael Beale to Rangers story is dominating things at the moment. We've heard lots of opinions from Rangers fans, and we'll take many more before 8 o'clock. I thought it might be quite interesting to get a QPR voice on this, if you like. Now, we're joined on the line by Paul Finney, who you can find on the Open All Hours QPR podcast. How's it going, Paul?
Not so bad. Well, it was going quite well. Northern Ireland didn't get to the World Cup, so I wasn't really interested. And now someone's trying to nick our manager.
Right, on the World Cup front, you're a bit like us then, right? You're like, you've not been invited to the party. You're watching from the outside. So that we can deal with together. How is this Michael Beale return to Rangers being received down there?
It's a bit mixed, because obviously he turned down Wolves and everyone was like, wow, okay, that's pretty damn decent these days, this day and age, for a manager to do that. Because obviously it was a massive financial package he would have got at Wolves as well. So it was like, and then he came out with a, yep, I'm here, I've started the project. I do hate it when people call football clubs projects, but never mind. They all do it these days. So he said he started the project, he wanted to see the project through, he's still young in his management career. And we were like, you know what, we'll have that, we'll take that. Then with a dodgy rerun of results, and now it seems like he's going to go to Rangers, which I think he always had a soft spot for, from what I hear, and the way he talks about them and stuff, you can kind of tell that there's a soft spot there. It's just a real shame, because, you know, for years, especially at our Rangers, sorry, not the Scottish one, we get managers off the conveyor belt, do you know what I mean? It's the same thing going round and round and round, and we now had this young manager who was doing things differently, he was treat the players differently. He you know, he just seemed to be the right fit to take us forward. And now it's kind of hit a wee bit of a brick wall. So, yeah, we're kind of a little bit, I think people are upset and also confused because they say the Wolves thing, which makes sense. To turn down Wolves and then go anyway just seems a bit bitter.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen those comments because that's the beauty of it. These things don't, well, I was going to say these, they don't get forgotten, but it was only a couple of weeks ago, Gordon, QPR, I think they put the interview out themselves. It was an internal one, and he's talking about loyalty and saying, I'm all in here on the project or whatever, as Paul
well,
says.
I'm with Paul here just listening, because if I was a QPR fan and I heard my manager was going to talk to Wolves in the Premier League, the first thing I'm thinking, we're losing him, because the financial package would have been incredible. And then when you see him coming back to QPR and not coming back but staying there and coming out with the positives about how he's got to take the club forward, the project that obviously Paul hates. But you're thinking, right, that's good. That's a manager that's loyal and he's wanting to be involved. We're going to get behind this. Then weeks, a couple of weeks down the line, he's back in Glasgow.
Yeah, that said, though, Mark, there obviously is an emotional tie there, just a feeling towards Rangers, which Paul says he even gathered from Michael Beale's short time. Whether it's the only club he would leave QPR for, probably not, but there's clearly something verging on sentimental there.
Of course, the other night we had a call that said they didn't want Michael Beale because he left, as his words, in the middle of the night with Steven Gerrard. Now, it was part of a team that Steven Gerrard decided to go and take with him. So, you know, Van Bronckhorst may have come in and not wanted Beale, so it's out with his control. This is within his control. He obviously loved his time here. He obviously loved the city and everything that came with it, and that little bit of success he had when he was here. So he wants to give it a shot. It's a huge club. There's not many clubs the size of Rangers you'll get the opportunity to manage at such an early stage in your managerial career.
Paul, I do wonder, is this considered as much of a foregone conclusion down there as it is up here? We can't really see any way this doesn't end in Michael Beale being the Rangers manager, albeit football is a funny game and can surprise you. Is that the way this ends for you?
Well, luckily for you guys, you've got a Belfast supporting QPR fan on here who now lives in London. So I understand the pull towards Rangers or Celtic, even though I actually didn't support any. I supported Glentoran, but never mind, and QPR. So I do get it. I understand the pull, 50,000 fans a week. But to me, look at the Scottish table, the season's pretty much over for Rangers. Without, I don't know, being that disrespectfully, if Celtic are going to win that league, that's, and then whether the Rangers fans will be patient enough to give him the chance to take them forward for next season, because this season's pretty much in the bag and he's got to try and sort out the squad, bring in players, do this, do that, do the other. But yeah, listen, we understand that they're a massive club, it's European football, it's all that. And in the same way, I would have understood if he'd gone to Wolves, because it's Premiership, they would have given serious cash to stay up, they would have got serious bonuses. I don't know what the structure is at Glasgow Rangers in regard to the transfer budget, but at QPR, we really haven't got much money. We kind of ruined all that by wasting it in the Premiership about a few years ago. So I understand it, but it depends on what Rangers have offered him, and he gets on well with the Rangers chairman, from what I believe as well. So it's all pointing towards, yeah, he will probably go to Glasgow Rangers and we'll be looking for a new manager, which is weird because obviously our last manager was Walker Woodson, who had a Glasgow Rangers connection as well.
That's right, so that's right. Yeah, I don't know what that says about that link, whether there'll be another one of them. Paul, how... It's a pretty small sample size, right? It's 21 games. And I think, as everyone knows, it started brilliantly. You've been on a more difficult run recently. How would you rate the job that Michael Beale has done in that short time? And maybe give us a bit of an insight into the style, because it's, you know, the Championship's a tough slog and it's grueling, whereas up here, he pretty much has to just win every game and win it well, you know, as a Rangers manager in this league. How do you look back on that short time?
Well, it's one of them things. He came in and Wolverton had us playing a certain way. Mark had done, I thought, a decent job, probably deserved another season, but they brought him in and he did change things. It's very much, you know, closing people down, or as they say these days, the high press. And he is very much based on attacking fullbacks that overlap and come flying down. So it's exciting football when it's working. The last few games, you can't judge him on, because the Championship was game after game after game, and we got a small squad and we were getting injuries and we're getting losing key players like Willock and stuff. So I think he will do really well, and he will take Rangers forward, because the football he plays, the way he treats the players, the way he talks to the players, the way he talks to the media, is impressive, and he's impressive in how he builds. I mean, everyone says he was a brilliance behind Gerrard, and Gerrard got the sack at Villa after he left, so maybe there's an inclination there, I don't know. But yeah, he's good. We've had him on the podcast, and he's very, very enlightening how he talks about the game, and he's a real anorak, so he lives, breathes. Because sometimes you get with some managers that, you know, they can tell they just believe in themselves. They don't. He seems to want to improve himself by every game, and he's a statue and he's everything. Yeah, I think he'll be a good fit. I'm just got it that we didn't see enough of him at QPR to give a better judgment, because we're always rubbish in October and December. And then January we're terrible, we'll get knocked out of the FA Cup. But I think he is a good young manager. It's just a shame he didn't stay longer, as I say. And it's also a shame that he came out and talked about loyalty. I think that's going to haunt him a little bit if he does decide to go. Obviously, if he stays, I'll give him the biggest Christmas card ever. Because we need consistency. Because you get sick of it, don't you? Managers come in and they go and they come and they go. And everyone says, I'm starting this project, I want to see this project through. And they never see it through. The project is never... And it's just a spiral of one coming in, one coming out. And we never go forward. On the bill, we looked like we were actually going to really challenge. We're top of the league, for goodness sake, which is unheard of for us. With such a small budget and everyone else having the parachute money. It was cloud cuckoo land for us for a wee while. So there's no doubt that the bloke knows exactly what he's doing, and he's absolutely driven. But maybe, just as I say, Rangers was too big of a call to make, and he just couldn't turn them down. I don't know.
Good man, Paul. I really appreciate the time. That was Paul Finney. Thank you very much, Paul. No worries. Take care. Good man, Paul Finney. All the R's podcast, QPR fan. And, you know, there's a sort of gauge that you get. See, when you try and sign a player, and in this case, a manager, see if the club that he's leaving, if their fans are annoyed or disappointed, then it probably means they've done a good job. Paul gutted.
Yeah. Paul was certainly a fan of Michael Beale. He would have liked to have seen him staying, but. Listen, he's not got the job yet. He might just get his wish. Exactly. And that big Christmas card up on its way.
Yeah, I mean, from a man who doesn't send Christmas cards,
whatsoever.
It means a lot.
Don't receive them either.
To hear you acknowledge it. Let's bring in John, who is a Rangers fan. Mixed bag it's been this week, John, on the notion of Michael Beale. How do you feel?
Hi, two Gordons and Mark. How you doing? I'm 100% behind Michael Beale. And I've just got a couple of names I would like to see him bring in with him. Or appointing, but can I make just a couple of kind of points?
Go for it.
I've listened to the show, and I've listened to the show for a million years. But for Monday and maybe the latter stages of last week, and Mark Molson said something tonight that kind of annoyed me about Rangers. This is Rangers fans. If they're Rangers fans, how by a bit of luck we go to Serville? We go to Serville, right? See the boys that I was with, we still talk about Serville. The only thing it was lacking was a result, okay? We had a brilliant time. How we got there, we had a brilliant time. How we get back home, we missed trains and flight, you name it, but we get here for the cup final. And then we get the Rangers fans saying that Steven Gerrard only won one trophy. That was the most important trophy Steven Gerrard won for Glasgow Rangers. But the Rangers fans are like, I've seen them winning the cup double that year and still take 1-10 in a row. Please, I cannot believe at times what I'm hearing on the radio show, Gordon. It's unbelievable, mate. When that was the most important league that we had to win. We get 55 and we still at the end of 10, and I still get even Hugh Keevens. I get 1 out of 9 or that. A lot of nonsense. Honest, that annoys me.
And then what did Mark do? What did Mark do? I'm interested.
Mark Wilson says tonight about talking about finally coming, Michael Beale, he'd a wee bit of success at Rangers. A wee bit of success?
Yeah,
Noon again, we still celebrate it. Yeah. Noon again in the pub, we still have a wee Sunday, and we still have a wee go.
You did say that, I heard you.
What do you want? Hold on a minute, John. What do you want me to say?
No, you did say that.
Yeah. No, wait, hold on. If Daz is trying to join John here, do you think Michael Beale had unbelievable success at Rangers?
I thought he was great.
Do you think that's not the question? Do you think he had unbelievable success?
I don't think you should deflect what John's trying to get to you, to me. But so answer John.
But you're...
I would like you answer John. John,
he did have a wee bit of success at Rangers.
It's a wee bit of success to you.
What do you
mean, mate?
Listen, that's your standards. My standards, obviously, aren't your standards.
So he's got higher standards than you, John.
John, I'm not arguing with you. That's fine. I would like my team to win more trophies than Michael Beale and Steven Gerrard did. If you're happy with that, that's fine.
Mark, three Celtic were a 1-10 their own, mate. You're still been talking about it tonight.
But they didn't. We're not talking about that.
I am. Thank God they didn't.
Right. I'm not saying that.
I thought it was meant to be. Gutted. I thought it was meant to be thank Michael Beale that they didn't, John. I thought that was the whole point of this.
Michael Beale was part of this. He was the brains, wasn't he? He was the brains behind Stevie G. Stevie G is the man, the front man that does the pressers, takes the flats, takes the good stuff. Michael Beale, everybody in the granny knows Michael Beale's the brains. The guy's the Queen's Park Rangers. After telling you. The guy knows the football inside out. He's got a bit of knowledge.
Yeah, he liked him for sure. You could tell that. John, how do you think that stuff translates to management? I think it's widely known he's a very highly thought of coach. Can you see any problems that translating to management?
I'd like to see Neil McCann, and I would also like to see Kevin Thompson. That, but unless he's got somebody he wants to bring to Queen's Park Rangers, I would like to see these two guys. Because these two guys that obviously have got a fair bit of knowledge playing football and off the park, Neil McCann and Kevin Thompson. And I would like to see him bringing, if he does, Lyndon Dykes. That would be my first signing. Sign Lyndon, bring him for Queen's Park Rangers to Glasgow Rangers.
I wonder what it'd cost you now.
Well, it costs a few quid, yeah.
You've got a championship. And anyway, that's just, by the by, let's work through them. I actually think, was there not a report in the summer that Michael Beale was considering, again, it didn't happen, but Michael Beale was considering taking Kevin Thompson to QPR? I'm sure I remember that from the summer.
Could be.
Whether that means anything now, we're hearing a lot of this week, sort of ex-Rangers players being mentioned. What do you think?
It doesn't work for me. Look, I've no.
But sorry.
I'm going to finish.
Okay.
I've no problem with if Michael Beale has worked with Kevin Thompson, which he has.
And that's what I was going to say. That one's not. Yeah. It's not completely random, is it? It's not just like get any old Rangers player in there.
But this nonsense. Well, we need people in that know the club and they know the Rangers. No, I just do not buy into that. Right. I've never been a big fan of that. Michael Beale knows the club. He's been there. He knows the standards. He knows everyone. If he decides that Kevin Thompson, he gets on brilliant with him, rates him as a coach, that's a decision Michael Beale makes. But you're putting, you know, I've heard guys like, well, Barry Ferguson, who was magnificent at Rangers, oh, you need to get him the staff. You need to get Neil McCann, a Rangers man, good knowledge about the game. There's a million coaches out there with great knowledge about the game. But if Michael Beale doesn't hit it off with them, there's no point being in there. You need people that you're going to bounce things off, you're comfortable with, you know you're going to go on with them, they know they're going down the same ideas as you. Now, Kevin Thompson may be that guy because of the connection before, but you can't just come on and go, right, we want a manager, but we're going to throw in a few Rangers guys because they know the club. They've had Rangers guys. Stuart McCall was a manager. Didn't work out for him. Rangers through and through. Alan McCoy's manager through and through.
Slightly Egerant different circumstances,
and everything.
We?
I know, but what I'm saying is, I just don't buy into all that. You have to have Rangers people in there.
John?
Gordon, if you listen to me, what I did say, if he's not got any people in his own people in mind, that's who I would like to see. He might, if Michael Beale is the new Rangers manager, then he might have somebody in mind, his own people. He'd be going to bring off for Dune South, I don't know. I'm only saying that that Kevin Thompson and Neil McCann would be them, and then that too.
Yeah, I think he's got a guy, John, I think Neil Banfield is his assistant. But Mark, you know what it's like, there's always that third role, if you like. So he would be the, who's going to be the Gary McAllister? If you like, if you're replicating that, you know, if it's Michael Beale number one, if it's Neil Banfield comes with him as number two, I don't know. Do you put, does your other coach become a Kevin Thompson? I guess these are all things that can be figured out.
You got to think Banfield he would trust, because his first job is a manager, and he's in there with them alongside him. So that kind of speaks volumes for me. I don't know if he would just come here by himself, even though he's been at the club. I've got to agree with Daz in this. I hate agreeing with Daz.
Thank you, mate.
Kevin Thompson, Neil McCann seem to be getting mentioned every single day, connection with the Rangers job. Even when Gio was under pressure, that some people saying Kevin Thompson should get the job. And I'm trying to put it together. Why? Why
to
is that
be fair,
the case?
John has explained is if there's a space.
No,
there.
Sorry, I was meaning get the job. That the Rangers fans have bought into that, but if it's a space in the coaching team, then maybe Kevin Thompson would fit that.
Thank you, John. 01419511025. It's a great time to call because you could be up next.
01419511025. This is is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here at 01419511025 or Twitter if you would like to join in. Please do. We're building up a good game for us to watch at 7 o'clock in the World Cup tonight as well. But keeping things closer to home, I've not had anyone on yet who doesn't think Michael Beale is about to become Rangers manager. It just feels like it's heading that way for many people. Could be wrong. We've been surprised many times before. So what do you think? As our previous contributor there, we had Paul on from a QPR podcast, gutted to be potentially losing Michael Beale. As he mentioned, there's a bit of a link there now, isn't there? Because the previous QPR manager was Mark Warburton, former Rangers boss, of course. He's been speaking to Sky today as well, and gave his thoughts on Beale's potential return.
I think Michael's well aware of the size of Rangers Football Club. It's a global institution, you know, recognised around the world for the history of the club. So it's a fantastic opportunity, and Michael will know that. But as far as I understand it, nothing official has gone through yet. So he'll recognise the club. He'll have very good relationships within the club, established when he's working with Stephen. So should it come along, it will be a fantastic opportunity, and I'm sure very hard to turn down. The fact that he was offered a job with Wolves and he chose to stay at QPR, I think speaks volumes for his thought process and what he's looking to do with his career. So he made that decision. So I'm sure it's not a done deal by any means yet, but the question was about the opportunity, and to manage a club of Rangers stature, it's always a magnificent opportunity. Should he go ahead, he'll have a very difficult decision to make, that's for sure.
Let's bring in Dougie, who's a Rangers fan in Kilbarkin. What's your thoughts on it all, Dougie?
Can I 50-50 with Michael Beale?
Okay.
Personally, I think I would prefer Sean Dyche. Just the way the players don't look fit. They look very lacklustre. But my main point was, now Steven Gerrard said one of the reasons he left was lack of investment. The lack of investment in the summer. And then a year down the line, are we going to be talking about the same thing? A lack of investment. That's basically my main point at the moment.
So you think there's more that needs fixed rather than, you know, you don't think just changing the manager fixes everything? You think there's more in it?
Yeah, I think there definitely does need more in it. The money that did come in, where is that went? Fiorebo, Bassi, and only spending just over 12 million. They weakened the team in the summer, and they never brought in like for like. So there's definitely something wrong, I think, at the top. And why have they not invested in the team? Was there no faith in Van Bronckhorst? To me, there's more questions need to be answered rather than just changing the manager.
Yeah, I mean, I think the boring sort of official answer is the Bassi-Aribo. Well, first of all, there's an AGM coming up, and that's when Rangers fans can really get their answers on financial pictures. I don't think the Aribo and Bassi money was in the most recent accounts. Neither would the Champions League money have been, but the previous European run, Seville, Nathan Patterson, obviously there was money repaid to people that were owed it for various things. What that all leads to in a footballing sense, though, Gordon, well, only January will tell. But any new manager taking any job at this time is going to want to know that he can do something in January. That's just obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, and plus the fact you've got the outlay of you're letting probably, what, 3-4 staff members go as well. Van Bronckhorst brought in his own staff, so they'll be in contract. That'll cost a pretty penny. You then got the money to QPR. So January's got to be very interesting for Rangers, because any manager or stroke coach, or if it's Michael Beale or if it's Sean Dyche, whatever, comes into the club, will need to sit down and know the direction they're going, especially in January. Because let's not be kidded, as much as everybody's hoping Michael Beale, if it's him, comes in, gets a tune out the players because they know him, this team needs revamped. And when they get to the summer, there's well known there, the Davises, McGregors, the Arfields, people like that, running their course. Morelos is running his contract down. Kent's running his contract down. So there's a sort of a rebuilding job still to do. So you've got to really find out, financial-wise, what is going to be available to you.
Maybe that's why they're giving the job to Beale, and he's the only one that's been in the picture, because the Rangers board may think there isn't a lot we can do here. There isn't a lot of investment. So the current crop of players we need to try and drain the best out of them. And who's the best man? Who got the best out of them? It's the guy at QPR. Let's get him back. Maybe that's the case. Maybe isn't he going to get a war chest to go and spend in January and his players coming in? Maybe they are just trusting him because they have seen him in action before.
In terms of what he can do as a coach?
Yes, as a coach.
Dougie, he has obviously been at the club before. How different are the circumstances this time? Because you obviously think back, just before Steven Gerrard and Michael Beale arrive, I think Rangers finished third and they got knocked out of Europe by Progress Niederkorn. Sorry for bringing back all these nightmares to you. So, you know, Rangers were in a properly bad place and they needed time and they got time to build Rangers back up. They progressed in Europe, they got better in the league, they won the league. And then obviously the management team changed. How much or how different is this set of circumstances? Because I know it might feel bad this season, but it was still only, what, 5-6 months ago you reached the European final.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Well, it's the same players that were there that humiliated the club in the Champions League. You know what I mean? For that team that went to the Europa League final, to the team that went to the Champions League, it was as if they were two completely different teams. You know, even in the domestic games, they're not closing down the same. Whereas you felt last season that they could pull something back if they went a goal behind, but this year I don't see that same drive in the players to what was there last season. I honestly just don't get why there's been such a downturn in their performances to what there was last season.
I think that's a fair point, you've got to say. The sort of a style of play and the Rangers fans weren't enjoying it, Gordon. The results obviously weren't helping as well. The European campaign, it was always going to be a difficult group, but the way they lost, the manner they lost, the amount of goals doesn't help you. And then, you know, the disappointing ones against the likes of St Johnstone, Livingston, all that. So that doesn't help when the style of play is poor as well. Rangers fans are looking for a bit better, but I keep saying it, you look at that Rangers squad just now, Michael Beale, whoever comes into that building, has got a massive job ahead of him.
I think Dougie used a good word there though, drive. You know, a lot of people, I think Dougie actually said at the start that they don't look fit. Was it Dougie that said that or mm-hmm. previous caller? But I think the Rangers players are fit. Of course they are. They're into November now. Okay, they've played enough games, they've done enough training sessions, that are a fit side, they're a fit bunch of lads, no doubt about it. But it was the drive, the tempo that they play at, it's in question. And that then boils down, I think, to the management team. It obviously did not work the style that Van Bronckhorst was trying to implement with the players that he had at his disposal. So Beale, if he comes in, the Rangers board know that they've got a coach that the players connect with and can play to his style, and it's much more attractive and much more eye-catching for the fans.
Cheers, Dougie. Nice to speak to you. That was Dougie and Kilbarkin, and it's time for this already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's been a bit easy for the pundits this week, but obviously when Wilson and DL are around, anything is possible. So if you fancy Beat the Pundit tonight, give us a call before 7 o'clock and please come on here, embarrass them and put them in their place. 01419511025, and it could be you who takes them on next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Get in touch. Lots of discussion again about Michael Beale. It's the biggest story in this part of the footballing world for the last few days. It seems to be getting closer, but is there anything else out there for you Celtic fans, for instance? I keep seeing reports that you're linked with Alistair Johnson, Canada's right back, who was part of that impressive performance from last night. What did you make of it? And speaking of the World Cup, it's now truly begun because Brazil have kicked off. Everyone always looks for the first Brazil game, certainly if your team are not in it, and we know how that feels. 3 minutes in against Serbia, I hope they get better.
They're not really playing like Brazil.
No, you missed that flick there. There we go, that's it. That's a bit more like it.
Right, here we go. That's him. they needed a 3 minutes to kick into action.
Good.
Here's the first goal coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay with
See,
it.
We judge so quickly in this show. That is
good. I don't know.
Anyway, right, pick up the phone and get in touch with the guys, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on, Beat the Pundit time. It feels like it was only last week, the week before, that we were on the verge of a clean sweep for the listeners. It was an absolute dream scenario, but we've got no listener victories yet this week. So let's see what we can do with Alan in Barrhead. How's it going, Alan?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, Alan. Nice to see we've got a Motherwell fan on the phone. It's all a bit quiet, isn't it, during this World Cup break? What are you hoping for when things kick off again?
Well, try and slowly up the table, but we're doing all right. Not doing too badly. Big Kev's scoring a lot of goals, so, well, he has been, so hopefully he can score some more.
Yeah, Gordon, I mean, it was a tough run of fixtures before the break, you have to say. Coming out of the break, St Mirren have a very good season, it has to be said, but St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Rangers, Livy, Hibs, Ross County, St Mirren, St Johnson, that's the sort of next run. Going to need to start picking up points somewhere.
Yeah, I think the break came at the right time, Gordon. Bit of breathing space, getting a few injuries back, and hopefully kick off and get our campaign going.
Okay, well, let's see if we can kick off and get your campaign going tonight, Alan. Heads it will be Mark Wilson, and tails it will be Gordon DL. He'll
much rather play you, so he would.
He's getting that for a fact. It's tails. It's Gordon DL.
He's lucky.
All the best, Alan. Alan, all the best.
Okay,
no worries.
Sorry.
So you missing song all the best, Dad? No, okay.
No, don't wish him all the best. We've got some steel man on steel man action. Just what everyone wanted. Right, so I'm going to give you some. What did
you don't want to know.
I'm so glad that mic was off. No, but that's. I heard what he said, but that's not what he meant. He's just stumbled across something that sounded really bad for the show. But anyway, forget it. Right, I'm going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. Alan, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know. It's that simple, okay?
Okay.
Good man then, your time starts now. Who's the only Rangers player called up to the World Cup this year?
Pass.
Which club was Steve Guppy with either side of his Celtic spell?
Leicester.
Oh, look at this. Name any of the last three Motherwell managers who managed over 100 games for the club.
Pass.
Oh, which team has won more Scottish Cups, Kilmarnock or Motherwell?
Kilmarnock.
Name either side that plays in the Renfrewshire Derby.
Simon.
Alan.
I know, terrible.
I'm going to get the border officials at Strathclyde Park not to let you in next time you make the trip from Barrhead. Gordon DL, ready?
Was that World Cup time? Looking at the clock there, that was a minute and a half.
Except it wasn't. He's just a consistent liar, isn't
he? Okay, it was
anyway,
only a minute.
Right, you ready?
Go.
Name the only Rangers player called up to the World Cup this year.
Barish.
Which club was Steve Guppy with either side of his spell at Celtic?
Leicester.
Name any of the last three Motherwell managers who managed over 100 games for the club.
Stuart McCall.
Which team has won more Scottish Cups, Kilmarnock or Motherwell?
Oh, very simple, Kilmarnock.
Name either side that plays in the Renfrewshire Derby.
Renfrewshire, Morton.
Which SPFL side play their home games at Balmour?
Balmour's Peterhead.
Okay.
Oh, that's a victory. That's a victory.
What do you think, Alan?
Oh, he's definitely beat me.
You're right, Alan. I have.
Where
did Alan get?
We'll find out. Borna Barisic went to the World Cup, Alan. 1-0 Gordon DL. You did get Steve Guppy at Leicester though, so that was good. I felt like the pressure was lifted because you got one on the board early on. However,
yeah.
Alan, name any of the last three Motherwell managers who over 100 games for the club. Not only could Alan not get it, he passed it. He's a Motherwell man.
After Stephen 5 minutes.
What about that one?
100 games, though, Gordon, to be fair.
Stephen Robinson, mate.
Robinson, McCall, or McGee. But I felt that was out the Mark Wilson playbook, that, because he wants you to know that you can't get it straight away, and you should get it. You then panic, don't you, Alan?
Yeah.
I can just sense it.
You're not a true Motherwell man like myself, Alan.
Pot calling the kettle black, Alan. Anyway, 3-1 to Gordon DL. Which team has won more Scottish Cups, Kilmarnock or Motherwell? It is Killy, 3-2. You both got that, so it's 4-2 to Gordon.
See,
Alan wasn't all bad, you know. He got St Mirren, Morton question right as well. So he's got 3 on the board, but you've got 5.
Yeah, easy. I'm in Brazil tonight.
And then you got one more question in. You got Peterhead play at Balmoor. It is a six out of six.
Come on.
For Gordon DL.
Let's go.
Hold on, before we get to that, Alan, how does that make you feel?
Pretty bad, but listen, I've given it a go. So
good man, Alan. Thank you for taking part. Good man.
See you, Alan. Bye.
And now to the main event. Because you know what happens. If you get 100%,
it wipes that zero out my record.
No, it doesn't. But you need to go for the 10.
Right, go.
You need to go for the everyone has been on the phone saying Michael Beale helped stop the 10. Let's see if you can get it.
Go.
Tonight, you ready?
Yeah.
Name either Scottish side Paul Sturrock has managed.
Dundee United.
Ooh. Who was the Celtic manager when Kieran Tierney was sold to Arsenal?
Brendan Rodgers.
Hopeless. Neil Lennon. Up the road.
No.
Rubbish. 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 I'm not doing that with you again because
I went right. I was 7 out of 8.
You'll never actually get 10. That's why it's a waste of time.
That was just a 50-50. I should have went, Neil. What was 9 and 10?
Nah, you've ruined the chance to find out.
I'm excited.
Which World Cup team is known as the Red Devils?
Belgium.
And where did Kenny, which Scottish club did Kenny Miller start his career with?
Livingston.
Oh, hopeless. Yeah! Absolutely.
Livingston.
Hopeless.
Was it Hibs?
There we go.
You were close. That's your best performance.
The Red Devils weren't great last night, were they?
I didn't see them.
Oh, for goodness sake, you'll have seen it. You've seen them all. Belgium.
Nah, poor. I've got to say, the Spanish loved it. Canada, Japan, and France. Not bad.
Who have you got in the sweepstake again?
I've got Portugal, Ronaldo.
They got their win eventually today. It was did he just try? Did he seriously? Did a 61-year-old man with a hip replacement just do the Ronaldo celebration in the studio?
Yeah, didn't look good. Can I get run?
I'll tell you, I'm glad I don't score a goal.
Try that again. I want to see you do that again. Come on, one more.
Not at all. I'll do it another time. I wouldn't beat the pundit.
I just don't think you had the hand motion right.
There's not much room in here. And I've got to say, I do think that Portugal looked okay.
I love the Ghana player doing the Ronaldo celebration when he scored to make it 3-2. That was good. But Daz, no, that doesn't suit you.
I feel like everyone felt
you stick to the what is it? That's what I'm all about.
Yeah,
celebration.
The header.
Everyone felt a bit sorry for Canada last night, I think, didn't they? They were great.
Canada were brilliant, Gordon. Great.
Seen people on social media saying they're the Celtic at this World Cup in the Champions League.
They had so many chances. And missed a penalty as saved by Thibaut Courtois.
To be fair, I'll get one of the best left backs in the world, if not the left back. Best left back.
Andy Robertson.
Davis. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant player. Absolutely brilliant.
Big fan of his, are you?
Yeah, massive. Massive. Sure. I've taken Canada to my heart.
Now, we did say, Mark, the World Cup starts properly for many people when Brazil play. They're now 12 minutes in against Serbia. Are we seeing that samba flair yet?
No, really. They're sort of different Brazil than I was brought up with. See, when you look at their attacking lineup, it looks unbelievable. The problem is their back four can't get the ball to them, so they keep passing it into midfield and it just keeps getting intercepted. So I know it's early on, but it's not the same feel. Can't believe the amount of empty seats as well at a game involving Brazil at the World Cup.
See, that's it.
Scandalous.
That's the only thing I'm glad I'm a lot older than you guys, because I was brought up with Jorginhos, Rivellinhos, all these sort of guys.
All the O's.
Yeah, all the O's.
We were Ronaldos and Rivaldos or Ronaldinhos.
What?
We had all the O's as well.
A real attacking Brazilian flair, but it's a bit boring. It's a bit laboured for me.
You joking?
What?
Look at that.
Oh, that is pacey.
<It's outrageous. laughs>
He's obviously heard me there. Oh, I'll just drop the shoulder, wee junior.
Vinicius Junior's got to be one of the quickest players on this planet.
Does it depend what era you were sort of brought up in, Mark? I mean, we, us sort of 90s kids, will have seen Brazil win at 94, get to the final 98, all the drama, R9.
Yep.
Against France, win it again, redemption 2002. So you think, but I feel like Brazil appeal to most generations because of their success
in
the 70s, and it's just something special when they play at the World Cup,
isn't it?
I mean, I think Neymar's just tried to,
Neymar from the corner.
He's just tried to score from the corner.
He's tried to score there. But that is it. They've always got special moments every World Cup. They've always got a special player coming into it that everybody wants to see. Neymar this year, like you say, in our day it was Ronaldo, R9, Ronaldinho over the years as well. Daz has just mentioned a few of the old guys. He used to watch Pele and stuff like that.
Have you got the Brazilians in the sweep?
I certainly have.
He'll be hoping.
I've also got Cameroon as well. I watched a bit of today. Yeah.
It's an open tournament for me, to be honest with you. First rounds are always cagey. You don't want to lose. Don't lose the first round. Take a point at worst, but don't take zero.
Yeah, you can tell what era of World Cup this guy was brought in. He's calling it the first round.
First game.
See, you must have watched the World Cup when it wasn't a colour TV, did you?
Oh, I grew up with a black and white one. You put money in the back.
How bad would that have been, seeing that famous Brazil team coming out and saying, what colour their strip is?
Mark, well, you knew the hit left to right, so you just followed them. But the great thing about it was the worst. See, if it was an exciting game, their goal was just about to get in, and your telly conked out. You didn't have any change to put it in the back, because we rent our telly, right? We're a bit poor. Oh my god.
Listen to this sob story. Yeah. You're a bit poor. Listen, you get any donations, phone in for his pass, would you?
Yeah, I grew up in the poor, the hard times. The poor times.
So when you
I used to go for a Hovis.
When you eventually discovered colour,
yeah.
What would you say your favourite colour was?
Blue. Oh, I've mean snooker.
I had the movies.
Because the reason I asked is
Duncan Lee.
I arrived into the office to some truly disturbing news earlier this afternoon.
Oh no, where they are?
He doesn't even know this.
I don't know this. Did
you not?
This is sounding good already. Why is a blue soundtrack coming on, please?
Because this shameless colleague of yours has been in badgering people in here for free tickets to go and see Blue. And what's worse, he's got them. The promise has been delivered.
What?
Now, if someone said to me, right, of everybody you know, who's the least likely fan of Blue that you know? I think it would be you. So you're a closet Blue fan.
Do you know what really annoys me in this programme? Right, I come in and I says to Lutch, I says, keep this under your hat, quiet, don't worry Gordon, sorted. I've like, oh, yeah, I've got a colour.
But why do you want to keep it quiet? Because you know that we'd slaughter you.
Not at all, I just feel like that's my own private business. I'm Duncan and Lee and Simon and all that.
Right,
the wee Costa boy.
I cannot believe. We quite often talk about some gigs that are on, and he was chatting about the Proclaimers. And he,
where even is it? Where is Blue?
He's not mentioned.
Oh, is this a big deal? Is this like a reunion type thing?
Sold out.
I'm sorry.
I thought Blue broke up.
That's the point. That's the big reunion. Apparently,
are you going to Blue?
Of course he is.
I've got tickets now.
He's been.
I was offered them. He didn't ask for a couple of days.
He's been on this for a couple of days trying to get someone in.
You have kept that very quiet.
See, Lurch.
I must admit, come on.
I can't believe it, right?
That's horrendous.
They were for a wee girl at 12's Christmas. That was a present, and you have just.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That is an absolute lie.
It's the only thing I could think of, but see for a minute.
You had me worried. You did have me worried. But I know you're lying, and I'm just delighted. What a discovery that you are a closet fan of Blue.
That's horrific. Thinking, are you listening to Blue?
Listen,
I
can listen to all sorts of music.
So see when that gig comes around, is it 19th of December for anyone else who's going
along?
The
gear I'll be wearing. Man,
what will you wear? Be allowed, like. Will you stand up? Will you like sway to those songs?
No, I'm a Saturday. Yeah.
Like turned up. He turned up to Robbie Williams. Dressed like a middle-aged man. So who knows what he's going to dress as. And you're just going to sit down again and watch a full concert?
I like to take the concert in nowadays. I like to absorb the atmosphere.
Speechless. And we'll just leave it there, right? Because I am. I'm a bit lost for words on that as well. We're going. How's this for an insight, though? Last night, everyone's favourite performance for a defeated side so far, Canada. There's reports today and last night that Celtic are linked with Alistair Johnson, Celtic right back. Ross is in Canada and he's a Celtic fan, and we're going to speak to him next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We'll give them a full-time teaser in the not-too-distant future as well. Let's bring in, as advertised, Ross, who's a Celtic fan, phoning from Canada. Are you on to give us the inside track on Alistair Johnson, Ross?
I am indeed, yeah. Good. I wanted to find out what you guys also thought about the prospect of a Canadian player coming into the SPFL. Obviously, as you can tell from my accent, I'm not Canadian. I moved here about 4 years ago. And I've had a bit of time watching him now in like Montreal and Nashville and stuff like that. And he's a really strong player from what I've seen in right back. He's aggressive as well, which tends to work well with Celtic. And I just wanted to see sort of what you guys thought and maybe hopefully provide some insight for fans that haven't seen him on what he's like playing style with.
Yeah, Gordon, I think it maybe added an extra incentive to some fans of Celtic, for instance, to watch that game last night. What did you think?
Yeah, I've got to admit, I just didn't sit and watch the right back. I didn't know at the time that Celtic were looking at him, but I was very impressed with the Canadian team. What I did see of him, very good going forward, strong, bags of pace about him as well, Gordon. So, look, we've got players from Canada obviously playing in our league. Witherspoon's over there just now with the Canadian. Arfield's played here as well.
You know. Born here, though.
Yeah, but he still plays for Canada.
Are you just trying to show off your like trivia knowledge? That was a weird.
He loves
point
Canada.
To make.
He knows he's Canadian football. This guy,
Ross. All of this seems to be picking up a bit more pace because there's this assumption for some people that Josip Juranovic gets sold after the World Cup, and then does that mean Alistair Johnson's a likely replacement? You know, is that the way you maybe see it?
Pretty much, aye. For what I've seen of it, there was little mumblings in Canada for about 3 or 4 days before Canada's first game of, maybe Alistair, Celtic are looking at Alistair and maybe something will happen from that. And then it was all rumour. Nobody had confirmed anything and we were just like, all right, okay. And then the sort of big deal, at least from what I've seen here, was after the game, it went massive on like One Soccer, which is one of the big sort of publications in Canada, that Celtic had an eye on them and that they were really interested. And the great thing about it is it's actually brought a lot of eyes on Scottish football in Canada. I've actually had a lot of people who would never have asked me about Scottish football before.
Just quickly, Ross, does your dog not like this show?
Apparently not.
Got a hoddy of raccoon at the back here.
Right, anyway, hopefully we've not upset the dog too much. What type of player is Alistair Johnson from what you've seen, Ross?
So from what I've seen, I would classify him as very similar to Juranovic. He's a very strong right back. He can also play centre back, and he also sort of moves a little bit into the wing, as you would have seen in that game against Belgium yesterday. He likes to sort of play a little bit forward when he can and assist. I think this year so far in the MLS, he's assisted like 4 or 5 goals this season. And he's scored like 3 himself as well. So he comes in with that sort of strong acumen of he can score goals, but he's also a really strong defender, as we've seen against the likes of Kevin De Bruyne and stuff last night. He can hold his own. And he works well with that sort of back line, but he can also assist the midfielders and stuff, which I think would come in really well with Celtic in the future, because that's kind of what we get right now with JJ, and I think it would be great to see somebody else come in who could potentially fill that space.
And yeah, he's at a good age as well. Ross, just to let you know, your dog's trying to tell you you're a thief walking out with your colour TV, man.
I'm going to let Ross settle the dog.
Game of Jumbo.
I feel like we're playing a part in this dog's the dog's distress. Mark, again,
Ross is on Super Scoreboard.
A lot of things might need to happen here. First of all, if it is to replace Juranovic, someone needs to want Juranovic, someone needs to pay the right money for him, he needs to go. You know, there's a bit of work to be done here, but because of the way that story seems to be heading, it looks like he is one that Celtic would maybe listen to offers for. If he has a good World Cup, it's one that might attract interest, and if Celtic are to look for a new right back, well then you can see the pieces are there.
Yeah, I genuinely thought it was only a matter of time before Juranovic was prized away from Celtic, just by the way he started, and then he's continued his Celtic career. He's been a standout. He looks like he fits into this side with ease, and this is what the World Cup does. If you're on top of your game and you get recognised by a co-op and you manage to play in it, bigger teams will have a look at you. So the money has to be right there. Alistair Johnson, I've got to be honest, don't know much about him, but if Ross's description is anything to go by, it sounds like he would fit the mould right away. Ange Postecoglou is fairly strong in the way he wants his fullbacks to play. Fits in perfectly with how he wants to attack, you know, by overloading the midfield with his fullbacks coming in. And if he can do that, then of course it'll be somebody that Celtic would be interested in, but how much would it cost? That's why the World Cup's brilliant. We've not heard a lot. Our team's linked with players. It was always great in the summer because the transfer window's right after it. You think, oh, who's our team going to buy? So this might be the first one.
Ross, you will know that market better than I do. The club that he's at, the clubs he's played for, it's not likely to completely break the bank, is it?
I wouldn't think so, no. If I remember right, the latest valuation I'd seen for him, which was sort of early this month, was about $6 million. So probably around about £5 million-ish, which is kind of similar to what we see some players come in and out of Celtic at anyway. So I wouldn't see it as a major. It's more expensive for a fullback than I think I've seen for Celtic in a while, other than like Cameron Carter-Vickers. But obviously he came in on loan first and we all kind of fell in love with him before he came in with that sort of more expensive trade.
Right, before we let you go, I've loved the insight, but you need to tell us the dog's name.
The dog's name's Ivy. She's an 8-month-old German Shepherd. So, you know.
There we go. I was just waiting on like Lubo, Henrik, Bobo, Mark Wilson.
Yeah, it didn't,
you know, named
like
after any of the Celtic greats. But there we are. Thank you to Ross and Ivy for contributing tonight. I like that. See that. That's the you two are international superstars. I mean, we can just like that. Celtic fans phoning in from Canada to give you the insight on Celtic's potential. That's the type of attraction you two.
Big draw, especially with his Canadian connections. Yeah.
They're all listening now. I bet they're on the cells for my wife to be when I was 18.
Any family members over there? now we're in about 30. Call in if you want. We'll discuss.
And it feels like every week at the moment, Curious Creatures is sending a poem in that I'm not comfortable reading out. Tonight's one is about you and Brazilians, because obviously the Brazil national team are playing at the moment. So we'll just, you know, it's 0-0, 30 minutes gone. Again, there's a bit of flair in there from time to time.
It's
but
nonsense, Gordon.
It's not been great, has it?
I'm not enjoying the flair. I'm not really. The Spanish played better football so far, but look, we're only 30 plus in, so we'll give them.
We were better against Serbia in the opening half hour than Brazil have been.
Exactly.
I would say so.
I think we were good. Oh, there we are. There's a wee back heel through the legs, but the keeper ends up taking it anyway. Okay.
Have we got a teaser, by the way?
Yeah, I suppose. So I'll just give you less time than usual. This is a twist on one we had earlier in the week. So it's quite similar to one we did with the Celtic lens. Derek sent a nice batch of World Cup questions into fulltime@clyde1.com. So if you like the sound, if you like the idea of these pundits struggling with your question, that's the aim of the game. Email me fulltime@clyde1.com. Derek says 9 players, the last 9 to have scored at a World Cup and have played for Rangers.
Right, we've got the Celtic one.
Oh, did you two have the Celtic one?
We got the Celtic one.
Better.
But it was tough. We didn't get it in the end, did we?
Van Bronckhorst,
hopeless, actually.
Van Bronckhorst
scored an absolute screamer, remember?
Against?
Uruguay.
Well done. Superb, okay. Gio, former Rangers player and manager now, of course. Any more?
Flo.
Yep, he scored against Brazil.
Brazil.
1990, remember that?
Caniggia must be in there.
Of course he's in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Good shout there, aye. Gattuso scored? No. He wouldn't have scored in a World Cup.
No, actually, he has
De
not.
Boers.
Which one?
The two of them. And then we'll narrow it down.
Ronald.
Yes.
Loudrop.
By the way.
Gascoigne.
Right, no, hold on, stop. Loudrop, yes. Gascoigne, no. So we'll leave it there, right?
Loudrop scored against Brazil as well.
Yeah, he did.
Did they get De Boer?
Yep, so that's 5 already. So we're only looking for another 4. players who've played for Rangers at some point and scored at a World Cup. You're scooshing it so far. Let's bring in Andy, who's a Celtic fan on the line. What's your point tonight, Andy?
Good evening, Gordon. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I've been listening to the programme and it's actually quite a couple of wee things I want to mention. First of all, I don't think either of the pundits are overly enamoured with the idea that Michael Beale is going to be successful. I'm just listening to both of them and I'm reading between the lines and nothing there. However, that's not the reason I'm phoning. Another point before I make my point is that there's no danger whatsoever that Dazzler's going to watch Blue. They tickets up for somebody else. They're for a special friend, aren't they, big man?
Well, I mean,
I don't think there's any need for that. There are people listening to our show.
No, believe me, Andy, he was singing the songs during the break and he was asking questions. And, you know, I think disturbingly enough, he is going. I had a tweet in from Paul Rankin, because you know you say that you don't like it when people stand up at concerts, you just like to sit down.
Yeah, I'm a sitter downer.
Paul says, I can't wait to hear Blue playing All Rise but the Dazzler telling him to sit back down again.
Listen, I've achieved that at Robbie Williams, good. I'll certainly achieve it at Blue.
Andy, let's please leave it there before anyone gets in trouble. Talk football to me.
Enjoy the concert, Gordon. No, what I was going to say, what I was actually phoning for was just about Celtic, how they're doing things. Obviously on the park it's going pretty well, but they've been criticised in the past for like biscuit tin mentality and no forward planning and no building on success. However, what we're seeing now is that the last couple of transfer windows, the business has done early, they've identified the targets, they've went in and done it. They've signed a centre-back, which I think everybody realised with James's own loan, he's going to be moving on. They've brought in a left-sided centre-back. The manager mentioned a couple of his quoted, and there was a wee bit of talk about it was that a couple of people will leave. I think Juranovic is going to be that guy. I don't know nothing about the Canada guy. He never stood it for me last night. Mm-hmm. But it just seems that the club are doing everything properly in terms of planning, forward planning, progression. And it's quite refreshing, actually, after maybe decades of last minute signings and are they going to fit? It's just, I think it's quite refreshing for us as a club.
Yeah, Mark, I get that thought process. I'm sure you'd be... Just because you sign Yuki Kobayashi early has literally no bearing on whether he's going to be a success or not. But you have to take Andy's point, at least at the outset, before you've even seen him, gives off this notion of certainty. You know you want him, planning's clearly been in place, forward thinking. Celtic are in a fairly strong position at the moment. They're the dominant team, but they're still looking to add to that and improve.
And I get Andy's point, because for years there was this mentality around Celtic that they were waiting to see how the Champions League qualification campaign went before they would go into the market, and it was all a bit last minute and a bit disjointed at times. And I think certain managers through the years have actually said that as well. You've got to say, when Ange Postecoglou came in, that he walked in the door with a squad that was falling to pieces, really, and he managed to make those players better. But what he did alongside that was put in this plan to the board that this is what I want in the first window. And the board went, I'll back him. But we'll back him all the way, and he got the players in. Even the loan players that he brought in as well, and Jota and Carter Vickers, they were in mind next year as well. And they got the deals over the line. Now, they may have dragged on a wee bit more, but I don't think anybody was in any frame of mind that they were going to lose those players. And it's just all ticking along nicely. Everybody's buying in to Ange Postecoglou. He is the one at the top. And I would give credit to the guys above him as well, who do their jobs behind the scenes, who don't get the credit. But it's got to start with the manager. He came in, he put down a plan, not only to the players, but the people behind the scenes, the way he wants it done. And they've backed him, and it's working.
What did you make of that signing yesterday, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm getting business done very quickly, Gordon. You know, looking at positions that obviously they want to strengthen. I think it's good news for Celtic, and I think the Celtic fans are excited, because everybody's buying in it because of one reason. His transfer windows have been very good. Let's be honest, every player he's brought in, maybe one, Gucci probably has not hit the height so far, but he was injured for a long time and it will take him a bit of time to get up to speed again. But the rest of the guys have really, really lit up the place, and his signings have been good. So they trust the manager in the transfer market. So it'll be interesting to see what they do bring. But once again, they're up, they're early, they've got a bit of business done. The window's not even open. They've recognised that they need that position strengthened, and they're going forward.
Andy, do you definitely think this means that Moritz Jens won't stay on a permanent deal, or is there a case to say that maybe Stephen Welsh is the one that leaves, and then you need another centre back anyway?
Well, I don't think there's any personal commitment. I think the stories we hear about the manager is that he doesn't make personal bonds with players, so that it makes it easier when it's time to let them go. And I think he will just base it on ability. And if you're asking me personally, I would say that Jens is possibly ahead of Welsh. Whether or not they can get that deal done, I don't know the situation with that. So, yeah, maybe the one in will leave. However, I think I heard you, Gordon, saying the other night when we were talking about the wider players that it looked as if Celtic were... had enough in that area, and then they went out earlier in the season and brought another one who's making an impact to the team. So it's hard to tell, really. I mean, everybody talks about having maybe two players for a terrible position, but sometimes when you're in Champions Leagues and the other tournaments, maybe that's not enough. Maybe they'll keep them all and bring in the other guy.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, Mark. I think the example was Haksabanovic. Did anyone think Celtic would go and sign another wide player? Probably not, never mind one that comes in and arguably is in Celtic's full strength.
Sometimes things are presented to you though that are just too good to turn down, and that I think that deal came about that everything kind of fitted, so why wouldn't you take them? It creates competition. With the centre halves, I think one will go. Now I think Jens is
Jens is only on loan, so the question is
would they do the deal? I think they'd be better served to do that deal and look at Welsh. I think four centre halves in there with Starfield, Carter Vickers, Kobayashi and Jens would be your strongest four. But there's no doubt there's going to be players going out in this January window, which will be interesting, by the way, because the Celtic manager himself has stated that Celtic fans may not like it, but they will just have to get used to it. When have we ever seen that? Favourites leaving the club when they're maybe at the top of their game midway through a season? Very rarely.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with Mark there about Jens. I would keep him, and I know young Welsh at times has come in and played very well, but I just feel that you've got to keep their strongest centre-backs there, and that would be their strongest. I like Jens. I think he brings a lot to it. I know he's only loan, but I really do think he brings a lot to the team. Mark's right. He's got to look at freeing up a few players as well. Obviously, every manager does. They know that if they're getting back to strength and somewhere along the line, they've got to lose one or two players off the wage bill. And Postecoglou knows that, but the transfer market's been very good to him.
Thanks, Andy. Nice to hear from you. That was Andy on the line on 01419511025. I'm going to get the rest of the answers to this teaser from you very soon, but something much more important than that first.
For kids, Mission Christmas. J&D Pierce, structural steelwork specialists, proud to support the local community.
It's getting closer. It is getting closer. Now, the road I take to get in to the studio here, you'll be familiar with it, Dumbarton Road. I am convinced that nowhere does Christmas trees earlier than Dumbarton Road. They've been up since Halloween, and every journey I make to work, there are more and more appearing on that specific road. It's definitely getting closer, and on a far more serious note, it means that Cash for Kids Mission Christmas is underway again for another year. The stats are disgraceful, quite frankly. We're talking about as many as one in two children living in poverty in some part of Glasgow and the West. And if you think of the way things are for everyone at the moment with the cost of living crisis, it could be a really, really tough Christmas, tougher than most for those and other families. So if you can do anything at all to help, it would be much appreciated. We're not talking about massive grand gestures and making this a magical day. We just want to try and make it a bit of a different day for some of the families and children affected. So if you can, it would be much appreciated. Now, to hear exactly the type of difference that your money makes, let's hear a bit from Don Middleton. Now, I've been down, I've visited Don and the good folks at Motherwell Football Club's Community Trust. They do tremendous work, and they help keep children active over the Christmas holidays and make sure that they're getting food every day when they're not at school. So she's going to tell us a bit about the work they do.
Stigma is very important to us, so we don't want parents bringing children to a food club. It's very important they're coming to a holiday club or to a football club, and if they can have 6 hours of football with a free lunch included, it takes all the pressure off the parents. A lot of this, what we're seeing, is in-work poverty, so it's parents who are doing their best but they just can't make ends meet.
There's no catch. Every single penny raised goes straight back to the families that need it most. So if you can do anything at all, we would be eternally grateful. And if you want to find out more, it's Clyde1.com/mission. And that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. There's still time for more calls. We'll get the answers to the teaser. It's half time between Brazil and Serbia. And it's 0-0.
I'm not happy, Gordon. I said it at the start of the show. Well, not at the start of the show. It's 7 o'clock when they kicked off. They've got to impress me tonight, Brazil.
You specifically?
Yeah. Look, everybody looks forward to sitting down watching Brazil. They are the World Cup. Nothing tonight. Produce nothing. If they don't produce in the second half, that's it. Switched off.
Seriously?
I've got to watch that celebrity nonsense.
A boycott?
I'm boycotting the World Cup.
Wow, that's huge news. So you will boycott the World Cup if Brazil don't impress you in the second half.
And I hope that filters through to the dressing room. That name of Arnott needs a talking to.
It's a big statement.
It's a lie.
Big commitment.
Because it's a big day tomorrow. You've got Wales, Iran tomorrow. No, you've got England, USA. Big
day. Gordon and I are very busy tomorrow.
Oh, he's got big plans, this guy, tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm celebrating the marriage of my niece, Melanie and Bob, at Dale Park, and I'm looking forward to a splendid wedding and a good bit of scran. All expenses paid, obviously, because I'm turning up there.
You know how... Well, it's a wedding.
You'll
pay for your... Mark, you know how when they talk about... You know when a player, like, stops playing, hangs up the boots, and then when you go to a game... Does it feel weird like sitting on the sidelines and not playing, not taking part in the action? Is that how you feel when you go to a wedding? You know what I mean? Like you're just a mere spectator. I bet you'd hate it because known as selfish as you are, you want the day to be all about you.
That's the only reason I get married, right?
So how are you going to cope?
Could be a wedding pundit.
I need to try and steal the thunder somewhere.
No one, not a single person going to this wedding tomorrow is interested in the bride's uncle. Nobody.
Well, I don't know about that. I've got good chat. I think by the time it gets to 9 or 10 o'clock, they're on the dance floor or what.
And how does the? Because obviously Tuesday night we were talking about the beard that you've been growing, paying a lot of attention to it. So this is you're sticking to it.
I've got a haircut. I don't know. It's sort of outward. It's out my comfort zone.
It's a bit
zone.
In the middle though, now, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm going to get a wee trim, just like a wee Graham Soonish type.
You've not gave it enough time. That's a rushed beard job.
Okay, I'm going to get a clean shave. But I've got a lovely suit and everything looked at.
Did you get a suit?
Yeah.
Did you buy one? Rent it or get a loan?
I know a good friend of mine.
Tell me you've not borrowed somebody's suit for this wedding.
Tell me it's so stupid.
So what's the story then?
Don't be so silly.
So what have you done?
I went and bought one.
From where?
A shop. Where do you normally buy a suit
from? Right,
Where do you go suit shopping?
Cash in hand.
I want to see a photo of you on Instagram tomorrow. Minus the golf club in front of you.
He'll just bring it with him. Is it a golf club as well? The wedding. He'll be out in 18
green. He'll have a driver in front of him.
Every picture.
I'm going to try and blag us a new membership.
Seriously, you've gone and bought a new suit for this wedding. I find that hard to believe.
New shirt, new tie, shoes, full lot. On you go. Right,
get the photo up so we can judge it.
Speaking of suits, it's not a red one, is it? Because you know, Mark Wilson asked you to fulfil a very important festive role for his charity. We've been trying to keep the listeners updated with that. And I understand that you have genuinely, no joking aside, you've knocked it back. You're refusing to do it.
Unfortunately, the date's clashed.
No, it's got nothing to do with the
things
date.
That I'm
quite
doing.
Poor, eh?
Very.
Quite poor. We've allowed the listeners behind the curtain to see his stinginess when it comes to Christmas.
What I can't understand is this man here, beefcake to my right, why is he not just putting it on and on he goes?
I've told you, I've got too young a face.
You need to be of a certain vintage.
I'm more well known than you. The kids would know my face. And you're forgotten about.
Right, well, listen.
You get a big nose. Santa nose. Rudolph knows, I mean. Christmas knows.
Anyway, how are you getting on with this teaser before you
I'll get a couple.
Before you get us in trouble? Just a quick reminder, this is what Derek did. Derek came up with these questions, sent a nice email, fulltime@clyde1.com, and then we try and use the questions on the show. It's that simple. So Derek wants you to name the last 9 players who've scored at a men's World Cup and have played for Rangers. You've got Giovanni van Bronckhorst, a cracker, wasn't it, against Uruguay. You've got Tore Andre Flot. You've got Claudio Caniggia, which is a fair bet because he's a fairly proud World Cup history. A checkered history, I suppose, as well. Ronald de Boer in there.
Yeah.
Brian Laudrup, any more?
Bruno Alves. Portugal. Don't ask me who he scored against, but it was a terrific header.
Wait, I don't need to ask you because he hasn't done it. He's not on the list.
Right, okay.
Richard Goff?
No.
What about Perso?
Big Daddo? He's not on the list, no.
Cujon?
No.
Beasley, the American lad.
You're getting worse.
Edu?
You started so well. Now you're miles off it.
Seriously?
Yeah. These ones must be the difficult Loving ones.
Lovenkrantz, Denmark?
No. There is one that's easier that you should get.
Man.
We're there. Elhadj Diouf?
No.
Did he not score a World Cup?
I actually thought he would have, you know, but he's not
Did
on this list.
In 98? No.
2002,
sorry.
I thought he would have, I must admit, but apparently he's not on Derek's
list.
I'm
not going back to Trevor Steve and all that. That's too far back. There must be an English lad there. Scored in the World Cup. Who played for?
Terry Butcher.
Think more recently than that.
Yeah. Scored in the World Cup, played with Rangers, played with England.
You're just going to keep repeating that and hope
Matt jumps in.
Yeah. Give me the clues again, does.
Defoe.
Of course, who did he score against?
Slovenia, 2010. Okay.
Oh, I had to get that one.
So, where are we? Is it still three to get? Three to get. You're
three
struggling.
Hard ones.
Is it Baguera?
No, there is a centre back.
Yeah, and I'll tell you who it is. Amoruso?
No. You're getting worse. Do you think Amoruso was scoring goals for Italy at the World Cup?
Nah, I was just a stab in the dark. It's worth a punt.
I think it was the 2006 World Cup.
Oh, where was that played?
Well, as if that's going to help you.
Yeah, it does. Come on, Mark, you're good at the World Cups.
Right. It's time for clues. He is Australian.
Craig Moore.
Did apparently. He score at the World Cup?
Apparently, according to Derek.
I would fact check that.
Well, he says it was a penalty against Croatia.
I would definitely check that.
Well, that's sad.
What? And the penalty shootout?
Right, the two.
Don't count.
Who else?
Two to get. Clues. One against South Korea in 2006. Craig Moore did score. I knew you wouldn't get this one. I knew you wouldn't. It's a centre back, but he didn't play for Rangers very long. He didn't have a great time of it up here. He got sent off in quite a high profile game. Played for Switzerland.
Oh, Senderos.
Senderos.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
And the last one, Gordon, right back to your era. This will be good. 1994. He scored against Cameroon.
For who?
Russia.
Mikhailchenko?
No.
Kuznetsky?
No.
Come on. Back to Yuri. You must have played against him.
Quick.
A Russian. Come on.
I can't. Oleg Selenko.
Selenko!
Right, thank you, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale. Andrew McLean is going to look after you tomorrow with Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell. And Callum Gallagher is up next. I will speak to you Saturday.